The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, beginning at the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, it's just about Christmas. Looking at the clock, we've got about 3/4 of an hour, and then we're going to hit that magic day. And hopefully, you have got everything ready, everything that you need for that special day. Presents, are they wrapped underneath the tree? Or are you going to get back and have to dash doing everything? Maybe you've got your food all sorted for Christmas Day, or Christmas pudding and turkey. And maybe you've even started one or two of your Christmas traditions. Well, in my family, our Christmas traditions tend to start a bit earlier than Christmas Day. It tends to be around mid-December, and that's the time when my wife decided that this was when we're allowed to start putting up the decorations. What would happen is really simple. She'd determine a day that means that we can go and choose the Christmas tree. And so after school, we're both teachers, we'd get the kids, and we'd trail off to one of the garden centres, normally Frosk's, it's one of the nearest ones. And we would go to the garden centre with expectation of getting the tree, but something else, because we always allowed the boys to get a new decoration for the house or for the tree. And this is a very delicate operation because, particularly when we were young, you were trying to get the balance between the naff decoration and the classy decoration. My wife tended to go with the classy. I was a bit more laissez-faire and would let anything go. And then when we've got the decorations, it's getting darker because we've faffed around doing stuff in the garden centre, we would head off outside to get the Christmas tree. And this is another expedition because you've got 15 to 20 minutes of trying to work out what is the perfect tree to put in the house. 15 to 20 minutes of arguing about what makes perfect tree. And I don't know if you do it in your family, we do it in mine, where somebody has to stand and hold the tree, whizzing it round so other people can work out if it's right or not. Too tall, too short, too fat, too thin, sparse, all those kind of things. And there's always an argument. It makes it worse because you're doing it in a garden centre that is dark by this time and there are no lights. So you're trying to drag the tree somewhere, find the light, and maybe with your torch on your phone to see if you can find the perfect tree. That's our tradition. That's what we do every year. And every year I think, I'm going to do this when it's light, but we never do. But you know, I love Christmas. It's great, isn't it? Because for a few days or even for a few weeks, we can live a little bit differently. People that maybe we don't talk to much, some of the neighbours, you might send a Christmas card to. Or maybe you might even wish somebody Christmas cheer because it's this time of year. Or if you're very adventurous, you might even give people a hug. I mean, we are out of COVID a little bit, so maybe it's not too bad. But the trouble is with Christmas, it then fades. Your decorations go down and the house just looks plain once more. And maybe all the stresses and strains return. You know, I hope that that's not what it's like for you. Christmas goes and it just becomes flat and your life goes back to normality. But I think for many people, that's what happens. See, the problem for many people is that I think they're living in their own world with their own problems, doing things in their own strength, struggling with all the things that they're trying to balance with the things that are going on. And we know how hard it is at the moment. There's no real joy once they get past Christmas. But tonight I want to tell you that if that's you, then there is another way of living. And I want to invite you not just to enjoy the joy of Christmas for a few days or a few weeks. I want to invite you to have that for the rest of your life. You see, at Christmas, we are remembering one of the most important events ever to happen for humankind. And that's the day that God became present in this world. In the past, if you wanted to come into the presence of God, you had to do so in the innermost sanctum of the temple, the special place where God would reside. And the only person who was allowed to go into that place was the high priest. And they could only do that after going through a long ritual of cleaning themselves in a perfect way and putting on special garments and robes. But it was so dangerous to go into the presence of God that they needed to tie a rope round their ankle of the priest. So if anything happened and the priest ended up kind of dying, they could pull him out. So dangerous was it to come into the presence of God. Few people in history have ever done it. But on this day that we're going to have very shortly, Christmas Day, we remember when God became present in this world. Jesus Emmanuel. You might have heard that word, Emmanuel, in some of the Christmas hymns and songs over the years. It means God with us. Because from that moment onwards, God allowed us to come into his presence. And so the question for us today is simple. Will you come and live in the presence of Jesus Christ? Will you have Jesus in your own life and let Jesus be Emmanuel, God with us? Because God wants all of us, no matter who we are, to come and live in his presence. And when we had that second reading in Luke, we had God announcing to some people that he was here in this world. But he didn't go to kings or politicians, he went to the humble shepherds. Humble shepherds on the hillside. And I'm pretty certain that after they'd had the visitation from the angels and then gone and visited the manger, that their lives would have been changed forever. And in fact, the Bible tells us many stories of people who came into the presence of Jesus Christ and had their lives completely changed. And why did God do this? Why did God become present in this world? Because he loves us and he wants to save us. He wants us to live in his love and his light. He wants us to have the eternal life so that we are saved forever. And that first reading from Isaiah, that might seem a bit strange for a Christmas Eve, but verse 2 said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." That light is Jesus Christ, who can bring us out of darkness. And what is the darkness? Well, the darkness is all those things in our lives that are not good. Hate, anger, jealousy, greed, frustrations with life because we're not getting exactly what we want. Maybe how we treat other people. A life that means we might struggle to love people or accept love from them. Maybe even a life that means we look at ourselves and we don't like what we see. But when we come into the presence of God, and when we let God be Emmanuel with us, acknowledging him as God and Savior, not only does God promise to save us and take us to heaven and give us eternal life, which is great, but he says he will work with us day to day. So I want to encourage you tonight that if you've never experienced the presence of God in your life, or if you have in the past and you haven't done recently, then I encourage you to do something about it. Because instead of living in darkness, you can live in the love and light of Jesus Christ. This light simply allows us to see and acknowledge the things in our lives that are wrong. Just like a light shines up into the darkness. And it's lovely, isn't it? It's great at Christmas when we have the lights that make the building look brilliant and the church look wonderful. Imagine what it is if we didn't have lights when we were trying to move around in the darkness. Or me trying to work out whether my Christmas tree and holding up and trying to see it in the dark. I need the light to be able to look and see if something is good or if there are things that are not so good. And Jesus is like that light. He allows us to see things in our lives that we need to change. Now, belief in Jesus does not mean that all of your problems are suddenly going to go away. I can't promise you that. But I can promise that God, if you allow him, will work with you. If you let God come into your life and you come into his presence, he will be able to start to change who you are for the better in a good way. Now, if you want to know more about what it means to live in God's presence, to live your life in a better way, to live in light rather than darkness, then I'd really encourage you to think about coming and joining with the Alpha course that we're going to be running in January. Just after Christmas in January, we're going to be running the Alpha course, which is a straightforward course, which really looks at what is the Christian faith. What does it mean to live a Christian life? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is this Holy Spirit thing that people often talk about? How can I live a better life? And if you are thinking a little bit about this and think you might like that, then there are no conditions. We're going to be running this course so people can come and join and inquire about what the Christian faith is all about. And if you've got questions about how challenging, then come and ask them. And if it's the end, you get to the end of the course and it's not for you, then that's fine. But it's amazing how many people come and do the Alpha course and actually find out that they want more. They want to know more about what it means to live in God's presence and accept the eternal life that he brings. And if you, like me, you might actually hear that message and say, well, I don't think I could come by myself. I encourage you to find somebody to come with you. Find somebody who can come along and join in that course, because all are welcome. Because we would love everybody to find out what it's like to live in the presence of God. And there is a big sign at the back and some leaflets if you are interested in the Alpha course, or it's on the website. So as I come to the end, I just want to just end with a simple prayer. Because I want us to just be able to come away from this and think, I'd love to live in the presence of God and have Jesus' light shining into my life. So Lord Jesus Christ, I pray on this Christmas Eve that you will help us to want to live in your presence, so that your light will shine into our lives. Help us to see what we need to do to live in life.